emasculate. Back. Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. Oh, we have a great show today. I'm kidding. as you can hear over there, back on, it's Ken Wilson. Ken, I want to say which band it is, but I don't know what to say it right now. So, Ken, tell the listeners now a little more about what band you may or may not be playing with.
Hi, Tiki Leader.
Hi there.
Well, the band's Honky Tonk Voodoo.
Still. Okay.
Still. We're out there. We got a new lead singer, and, you know, some people can't take the change. People hate change, but change is inevitable.
And it's been a big change.
Changing a lead singer is a big change.
Well, doesn't that really make a band a lot of times? Don't you feel like if the Rolling Stones went out on tour without Mick Jagger, would it still be the Rolling Stones?
No, it wouldn't. And we made a couple changes from having a dedicated lead singer to now we have two lead singers. So we went from something that you would think would be a George Strait or a Garth Brooks or something to a Montgomery Gentry or Brooks and Dunn. Now we have two people that sing leads, and they split the show up. So it's not one guy all night long.
Right.
It's two.
Kind of like the Eagles used to do.
Exactly. They were like five guys.
Yeah, they all sang a different. It's your turn. Sing a song.
Exactly. Yeah, have some, you know, and I'd like to say ego doesn't get in the way, but then there's the Eagles.
Let's keep it in that thread.
Exactly.
So you guys are still playing around town, playing Toby Keith's Bar. Yeah, I love this bar and grill.
We are. We're up.
Which is still a long name for a club, by the way. To have to say Toby Keith's, I love this bar and grill.
Yeah, can't we just say Toby's? It's Toby's. TK, you know, in this hip-hop kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I yeah. hear you. We are TK.
TK. We don't use vowels anymore. Vowels take too much time.
TK. So can people find any Honky Tonk Voodoo video or music anywhere?
You can find videos of the former version on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
We haven't filmed anything with the new band yet.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, I know. But you got to get it up and looking good before you can film it.
True.
You can't just, you know.
For true. You can't slap together a car, take it out on the road, and then sell it.
Exactly. Yeah, I put together a car last night, and yes, we're doing the Indy in the morning. We're going to be at Indy. So have a nice day, and I hope I make one lap out of it.
So Ken also does the sound. You work the sound at TK's.
At TK's, yeah. I'm a subcontractor. My company does all the sound for them and helps with all the nationals, the advancing of the shows and working with the national crews and producing the shows when they come to town.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't had you on the show in a while. And Ken, we all used to play together in the other band, the Flappin' Jacks, and we got to open for our main man, George Jones.
Yes, we did.
Which was the greatest day in probably all of our lives.
I agree with that.
What, seriously, you too?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I was a big George Jones fan, but not like you or Dewey was.
Yeah.
But your love for him inspired me that day, and that's probably the greatest artist we've ever played with. Now, the greatest venue we ever played was Red Rocks.
True.
Could we have put the two together?
We would have died.
We probably would have died.
We would have died.
Yeah.
Dewey would have cried. And he did. He did anyway.
Yes, he did. There's no crying at Red Rocks.
Oh, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to you or ask you about. So, where were you when George died? Do you remember where you were? Because this is almost where were you when Kennedy was killed?
Yeah. I was working. I was working that day, and sadly, I think we all knew it was coming. We all knew it was. It was, you know, time for him to join the big band.
Right.
You know?
Well, I wasn't so sure that he was going to join the big band other than maybe hang up the shoes. Because he had gotten real soft in his singing. And, you know, he could tell the vocal wasn't there. So I thought maybe he would just kind of go, you know what, I'm going to hang up and retire.
But right.
I think he was one of those guys that just said, if I'm not doing this, I can't, yeah, I'm not going to live.
Yeah, what is there for me? I've taken the journey, I've done the trip. And the trip's over. So without, I think without his singing and out his music, I don't know if he really wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, sad to say that, but with a life that full and that great, I mean, how do you top that by sitting on the chair on the porch?
I don't need your rocking chair.
Exactly.
That song was 20 years ago.
He predicted it 20 years ahead of time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, anybody new that you're excited about?
Anybody new?
Anybody coming through TKs that you're like, this person's going to be big? Or is there somebody on the radio right now that you're like, okay, I'm liking this?
Well, a lot of people don't like the new country. I think change is inevitable. I don't love the new bro country, but...
And everybody that listens to this podcast knows that I bitch about it.
Yeah.
Actually, the other day on Wrinkled Sheets, Janet, the podcast I do with the girlfriend,
right?
We were talking about, because she's in love with Chase Rice.
Okay.
That's just, she thinks that I'm not.
Right.
And she goes, and I know how you feel. We're not even going down the road. We're not even going to talk about it.
Right. Not even going to talk about it. Now, Chase Rice actually came through TK's, and he put on a great show. His band is tight. They're amazing. They're very... aggressive for a country band. They're not the lay back in the shade kind of country band. They're a get up and get in your face, and they're a great band. He's got new music, but they also played a lot of old stuff, and they played it very well. Covers, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they played it very well. You know, a lot of guys are good song pickers when they know how to pick a good song, and I don't mean guitar pick.
Right.
I mean, the which label gives perform? You 30 songs. Which ones do you want to do?
Yeah.
Some people, like, I don't know, Kenny Chesney, Jason Aldean, those guys pick good songs.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't.
Much like George Strait. Would you
pick, exactly.
Like, a George Strait song.
Exactly.
You'd hear something and go, that's a George Strait song.
It's exactly. It's just written for him, or he wrote it exactly that way, and you can tell what it is. A lot of people pick good songs. I think a few of the songs Chase has done, he hasn't really picked correctly, but there's a learning curve to that too.
Yeah, you got to come back. I think in this day and age, but you have to come out of the shoot right. Like, you know, you can't go, well, my first two songs I didn't pick well.
Right. They're
still going to get dropped. Like, we were just talking about a band called, what was it, the
Dirt Drifters.
Dirt Drifters, who you and I both loved.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys are listening, Google Dirt Drifters. They were a great band. And if you find them, let me know. But they were really good. And friendly, nice guys, and obviously their first couple of songs didn't pick well,
right?
And you're dropped. So
right.
that's what I'm saying. I don't know how you got to come out swinging. Like,
you do. Remember, it didn't used to be that way. It used to be the sophomore album. The
right.
second album was where you really got an idea of the band's sound.
Yeah.
And after they'd done an album and done a tour and been together, and the second album was really where they started to define their individual sound. And it's possible that the sound they were defining wasn't what the label wanted. Because now, if you don't do it on the first album, you don't get it done.
Right.
They don't even give you the opportunity to mature.
A lot like TVs do it now.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't catch people the first two episodes, you're canceled.
Exactly.
Like, Cheers and Seinfeld did not catch on for the first two seasons.
Exactly.
They actually built their audience. Like, somebody believed in the fact that this is good.
Right.
And there's some guys now that I look up, I hear a song and I go back and I look on their website and not realize that there was two albums before.
Right, exactly.
Like, you don't even know that. You're like, oh, this guy's really, oh, look, he did an album back in 2002.
Right.
And
all of a sudden he's an overnight success.
Right.
10 years later?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I agree.
So who else besides Chase are you looking? Because what I have heard, and I don't want to slam it because Janet loves it, but what I have heard, it's just too much of the bro-ish country for me.
Right. A little too formulated, a little too poppy. Is that what you're,
yeah.
what you're hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. Well,
like, I love the idea that you were telling me a while ago, the thing about redoing the old David Allan Coe song.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tell them that idea.
Okay, well, when David Allan Coe came out with, I've forgotten the name of that song.
You Don't Call Me Darling.
You Don't Call Me Darling. The very last verse talked about how he sent the song to a friend of his who said, this isn't country, because you got talking about mama, you know, talking about trains, you ain't talking about pickup trucks. So my idea to you, Steve, when we talked about it was, redo that last verse now and redo it with tailgates and bonfires and, you know, what's hot new in the bro
pants.
Country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hot pants and, you know, tight shorts and, uh-huh. and the
down by the creek.
Yeah. All that stuff. And rewrite that last verse to reflect today's bro country. And even add that pre-kick beat that makes it got that new hip-hop sound that everybody loves. Yeah. And just rewrite that and see how that takes off. Now that it's out there, anybody can steal the idea, and I hope you do well with it. I hope you get another million
seller. We can cut this out if you don't want it to get out there yet.
That's all right.
I love the idea.
It's a great idea, and it should be done.
And you said you've told a couple bands this idea, and they're like,
whatever. You know, okay, all right. Well, because either A, it's already been done once, but... The thing, and the reason I know you would like it is because my spin on it is a little comedic.
Right.
Because not only does it make fun of bro country, but it makes fun of the fact that even back then, they were telling David Allan Coe, your country song's not country enough.
Yeah.
Just what you're saying about bro country now. It's not country enough. Remember that guy, Garth Brooks, when he came out? He was going to ruin country.
Oh.
He was going to ruin it. Now everybody says, why don't they have old, good, classic country like Garth Brooks anymore? So... Change is inevitable.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe my pal Cletus T. Judd will hear this.
Cletus.
That could be my next parody song.
Cletus, do it.
And if he does, Cletus, we want some kickback on this.
Yeah, a little bit. We got to represent a little bit.
That's
right.
We'll help you write it, and then we get a little bit back on it.
Yeah, a little mailbox money.
That's right. Need a little mailbox money. A friend of mine, another comic, and you may or may not know, Ben Roy is a local.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love him.
Very, very funny. He is a big country, Western movie. He loves Western movies.
Oh, yeah.
And loves country music. The old, like, he likes that kind of.
Yeah, neat, near.
Near, yeah. And we've been talking about trying to get together and writing some old style country music.
Uh-huh.
Just maybe a little more edgy, but a little more with that just hardcore country sound.
Right, so like the music a little edgy, but the lyrics and the vocals
go back to that time of, you know, out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
Perfect. You know. That'd be like Fresh Roots, I guess they call that.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fresh, but it goes back to the roots of country.
Yeah.
I think they should have a new genre called Fresh Roots.
Fresh Roots.
Yeah.
Because he and I were talking, and he said there's a whole generation, like this there's people coming up in their 20s and 30s, and they love the old stuff, because isn't that what it always is?
New to them.
It's new to them.
Yes.
So there's this whole thing of, like, we should try to get in on this of, like, creating this whole new thing of a hip old style.
That would be very cool. I think there's a place for that.
We might have to get you guys in on this too.
Oh, we could do that,
because I talked to John Macy, who is
love John.
John is a producer here in town.
Yes,
and
is.
John has produced a lot of big people.
He has, from the Dirt Band. He's doing Richie, isn't he? Richie Furay a little bit?
He did. I think, didn't he do Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I think he did one of those.
At least one of the songs. But anyway, I sent John an email, and he goes, yeah, let's talk. I'm in.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he loves the idea of this making old new again.
Uh-huh. Agreed. If John's in, you know it's going to be good.
It'll be good.
It'll be real good.
I know. So what else is going on in your life? We can't just bore our people with all of our insides of country music.
What we think about it. Well, yeah. You know, in my life, it's very boring, you know, so let's not bore people with that as well.
New love life?
Pretty much focused right now just on the band. I'm helping out some friends of mine, Marshall Rain. They're doing a few dates that I'll be sitting in and helping them out. Very good country band. Very good country
band. I've heard some of their cuts. Uh-huh. Very nice. They go all the way from Disney soundtrack music to to bro country. They're going to cover all their bases and go, somebody sign us.
Exactly. And they're Jason and Eric, the two that are Marshall Rain, they're both great writers. And so they can write songs for themselves. And as prolific songwriters, they can write for anybody out there. Depends on what you're looking for. You know, Hollywood,
yeah,
or Disney World,
uh-huh.
You know, or they've got one track that sounds very old school country.
But they need one of those songs like something from Frozen. Let it go, let it go, let it go. You know, I'm so sick of songs being picked from shows and I don't understand. I guess people just can relate to it because they saw the movie. But like that song from Frozen or Happy, you know, mm-hmm. that from that other movie.
Right.
They just drive me crazy.
They're so simple.
They're so, yeah, is that what it is?
They're so
just
simple.
So simple.
You know, on one of your earlier podcasts, we were talking with James Otto.
Yes.
If you remember that. Uh-huh. And James had said that part of the culture and what they're looking for is you need a song that's kind of like a soundbite that you need to catch their attention real quick because they're, you know, flipping through stations. And
yeah.
But if you're like you or I that has a long attention span, this music that catches your attention in a minute loses it in about a minute one.
Right.
And then you got to suffer through three more minutes of Happy or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on
out
there.
Room without a roof. What the hell does that mean anyway? What is a room without a roof? Happy like a room without a roof.
That's not a room.
That's not a room.
It's a cube. That's a cubicle. How can you be happy in a cubicle?
Nobody's happy in a cubicle.
Nobody. Not even.
Nobody.
You need a window to be happy.
That's right. That should have been like with a room with a window.
Exactly. Without a roof with a window. Same syllables.
Well, a friend of mine said he thinks it's supposed to be that the room without a roof meant they partied so hard. Like, raise the roof.
Oh,
raise.
The roof is on fire?
Apparently in this kind of day and age, anything that has to do with the roof needs to be done. You've got to raise it off. You got to catch it on fire.
Right. Can we add that to Bro Country? Is that in there yet?
I don't think it is.
Something about a roof?
Yeah.
They want to be inside,
yeah,
but they want to be outside.
Well, it's what I used to say, but because they always go, the more hip-hop kind of stations always go, in the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's he's in the house.
Mudflap in the house.
Yeah. And I always would go, in the barn. Remember at the country station, I would always go, we got him here in the barn. Because you have to make it relatable to your crowd or your audience.
Exactly. Our people are hard workers. They're out in the barn working. They're out in the shop working. They're not in the house. That's where Oprah's at.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
Yeah. But they're just happy to be able to afford a house in this day and age.
Oh, I agree with that.
All right. I found this thing that I wanted to bring up here. It's Parenting Confessions.
Okay.
Confessions. And here are some confessions that parents have made. That I make my kid lie about their age so they can get in cheaper at the movies.
Okay.
You know, those kind of things.
Right.
That's what this, I fart in public, but I blame it on the kids.
Okay.
I hate hanging out with other mommies. That's not for us, but that other moms have confessed to this. I tell kids they could eat their boogers and earwax as long as no one is watching.
Oh, good.
Is that pretty gross?
That's pretty disgusting parenting right there.
I tell my kids the candy in the checkout lane is dog food.
Okay.
I tell my kids that they're allergic to chocolate, but they're not.
Okay.
For years, I've had my kids believing the Disney store was Disney World. That's pretty good.
I like that.
That's pretty good.
I don't mind being allergic to chocolate either.
No, is that bad for you? I hit a friend's porta potty, so she couldn't let her ever constipated daughter sit on it at the playground in full view of everybody. Ooh, I guess she had one of those little, just like a camping toilet.
Oh, I thought porta potty. I thought like one of those green things you see at the festivals
like
that you go inside. Yeah.
No, this must just been one of those little chairs when you go hunting. That's kind of gross.
I think that's okay that she doesn't let her do that because you know you got to kind of respect the other kids too.
Right.
They don't need to see that.
True. When I forgot to put money under the pillow for a lost tooth, I tell my kids that the tooth fairy doesn't visit the same day that the tooth was lost after 3 p.m.
All right. Banks aren't open after 5.
That's true. If you make a deposit after 2, it doesn't go on until the next day.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking this is either a business person or this person works at a bank.
Exactly.
I cry when I leave my dogs for a weekend, but I do the happy dance when I'm able to leave my kids for the weekend.
Aw.
Now, do any of these relate to you in any way, shape, or form? Did your parents do any of this stuff to you, or did your parents have anything that would fall under the confessions now that you're older, have you figured out, they lied to me about this too?
You know, I'm not really sure. Because I believe everything they said,
isn't that most kids though? Don't you think that we just believe our parents?
Well, yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to trust that out of everybody in the world, your parents, you can trust them to be honest with you, even when it hurts.
But what if your parents aren't bright, and you know they're not bright?
Well,
then I'm not saying your parents. In general, what if a kid goes, man, my parents are dumb as shit?
Well, that's probably the same day he realizes he's going to have a hard time raising his parents from then on. He becomes the parent at that point, when you realize that you've surpassed your leadership.
That you've read more, you're more aware of what's going on in the world.
Right. You got to stop talking to me about Santa, because I know the truth.
I'm 16 now.
I'm 16. Exactly.
When did you finally stop believing in Santa?
Oh.
Or did you pretend to believe longer?
I think I pretended to believe longer because I was told that if you don't believe in Santa, he stops coming. And so I realized what they were saying. The minute you stop believing in Santa, we're going to save some money at Christmas. So the gifts stop coming from Santa. So, even last year, I was really happy that Santa came and gave me what I needed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was Santa you?
Santa, yes.
So you believed in yourself and your Santa self?
Exactly.
Enough that...
That I did get the Puerto Rican hooker I was asking for.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
Well, you always want to get something you normally wouldn't buy yourself.
You wouldn't buy it for yourself, right?
That's what I always, when it comes to gifts, because after you should buy them something they wouldn't buy themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I can buy my own socks, thank you. I don't really need socks. But, you go to the strip club, you never buy yourself a dance, you buy it for your buddy.
And then it's not as weird or creepy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And people listen to this go, oh, do they go to strip bars?
Really?
No, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. I have to explain to people, I don't know if you've seen my Twitter, several times now,
right?
I've had to post, it's not real.
It's not real. Newsflash, Steve is a comedian.
Yeah.
End of newsflash.
If you took this shit serious.
Right.
I got a bridge that I want to sell you in a desert.
Exactly. God help you.
Because I think people just take stuff way too serious. Just way.
I agree.
But do you think people might be, is it anger or is it ignorance? I was thinking about this the other day. Are they just angry all the time and they're looking for something to be annoyed by? Or are they just ignorant to the fact that this, if you would have read the real story, you know this isn't true.
Right. I think, I see a lot of people on the Facebook, they post, oh my God, look at this. And it's The Onion, okay? We know The Onion's a fake paper.
Right.
I believe so.
I've seen that a lot, too.
Like, I believe so.
Did you see this? Such and such is gay.
Yeah.
And then you see the article. Like, no,
right.
it's
The Onion. Do you not see that? So I think people are afraid. I mean, you say some incredibly funny stuff, and I laugh my butt off. Whereas if I was afraid going, well, if I laugh at this, someone might call me, you know, A or B.
Yeah.
Or someone might think less of me if I laugh at this joke. I don't care. That was funny shit right there. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not afraid.
Well, I feel that way a lot in comedy clubs now, that you can feel the what used to just be people just laughed about anything. You came to a comedy club and you just laughed.
Right.
I think people have an internal tension now. They're like, oh.
The politically correct police are going to get me.
Should I laugh at that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was funny.
You know, that was very funny, but I better look around to see if anybody else is laughing at that.
I must conform. Is everybody laughing? No, then I won't laugh.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
And I see a lot of comics now in this day and age that aren't particularly funny, but they're just walking a line of like, is that edgy enough? Did I say something without the joke to it?
Right.
I pointed out something and you noticed it, but there's no joke to go with it.
Right. Well, it's observational comedy. You mentioned Seinfeld earlier. I think he was one of the guys in the 90s that made fun of normal stuff. Sometimes he made stuff up that was a little extra normal.
Well, I used to make fun of Seinfeld in the way, and I still think he's a comic genius, by the way. I mean, he created his own style.
Mm-hmm.
He created his own delivery. Uh-huh. You know, it's almost like we were talking about a George Strait song. There is a Jerry Seinfeld joke. It's like, well, look at these sugar packets. Why are some pink and why are some blue? Why are sugar packets different color? Is the blue one for boys and the pink for girls?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's all he would just like...
Yeah.
look at something and go, let's talk about it. What?
Yeah.
Who is a pink highlighter for? Why would you have a pink highlighter? You know,
it's observational. It's very funny. And some of the stuff he made funnier because of his delivery, you know.
Right. Exactly. But I think sometimes you have to, and I really believe in a comedy club, and I've been finding this now that I've been working the ships, doing cruise ships, and this comedy club that I'm allowed to do is an unedited act. I can do anything I want to, say whatever I want to.
Right.
And I have so many people coming out and saying how much they love the show because I didn't treat them like a child.
Right.
And I think every once in a while, you have to just punch them in the gut with something. I think comedy has to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you went there.
Yeah, it's so funny. You just found yourself laughing. You didn't have to think about it.
No, you just went, Jesus, he really did say that.
Yeah, he said that.
So that's hysterical.
Let me ask you a question. Do you find you do a lot of European cruises?
Uh-huh.
Do you find that the Europeans are more stuffy or less stuffy than Americans?
They're less stuffy. They appear to be stuffy to us,
uh-huh.
but that's just their lifestyle and their attitude.
Right.
I think they're a lot hipper than we give them credit.
Okay.
My last cruise, I had a guy, a French guy, come up to me, just loved the show. He actually came and saw it every night, like 8 shows on the cruise.
Wow.
And he goes, you did like a different partial set every time I saw you. And he goes, I don't think the Germans in the audience got your jokes. I think that's funny to me. But
Germans never have had a sense of humor that they're aware of.
Yeah, you know, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
How many German comics can you think of? There might be one. But here, we don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't have any idea.
But I think I found that amusing that, you know, that the French can get it. And the Germans are still coming. You know, I think they get it. Because I try really hard to make it stuff that everybody can relate to. Even though it's different, I'm still trying to talk about, if you think in worldwide humor, you have to think of things that everybody has. Everybody drives a car. Everybody has parents. Everybody has kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on Twitter or Facebook. If you can think of jokes that everybody can relate to.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem now with so many new, these guys are just trying to talk about things that don't matter to anybody.
Right. They're too personal.
They're too personal.
Right.
Or they're, how, you can't do subway jokes. You can't do riding the subway jokes in Denver. In Denver.
Yeah.
You know, people come from out of town and go, well, you guys are kind of stupid. No, you didn't gear your act to everybody.
Right. Well, people will be like, well, that's not a subway. The bus is the same as a subway. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Unless you've experienced the subway.
Yeah, you could say public transportation, and it's not going to be the same thing.
It's not the subway, that little tunnel of stink under the city.
Right, that little piss canal under New York City.
Exactly.
That you go, oh, is this guy about to stab me?
Yes, yes. That doesn't, you know, that's unique to itself. That's the subway.
Right.
And it's not it's a subway joke.
And I think so many comics just do things that they relate to. Oh, so I was at the deli on 44th Street,
right?
And these two guys walk in. You're like, we don't get it. We would get it if we lived there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you go to New York and you go, oh, the other day I was climbing this 14er. Funniest thing happens. You know when you're up there how it feels. They're like, no.
No.
I don't.
You do that little bit of lightheadedness that kicks in at about 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
No.
They don't get it. So the joke's automatically not funny. Like, they're trying to think about it too hard.
Right. Well, you know, it's, now that you mentioned it, this is exactly what I did when I did my Comedy Central special.
Uh-huh.
Is I had all my material pre-approved, and this is what we're going to do. And when we get to the theater in New York City where we taped it, this is what we're going to, you know, do. Well, I got to New York City before the taping and looked around and got to walking around and talking to people and noticing. I went, they're not going to get what I have done.
Right.
I had all this material about a Texas water park, like, you know, like Water World. They're not going to get those jokes about Texas heat and why we have the water park. And like, I'm not doing this material. They're not going. It'll be fine. I'm not doing this.
Right.
This is not what.
Well, on Comedy Central, the people in Texas, their overall audience may have got it, but if your immediate audience doesn't get it and doesn't laugh, it's not funny to anybody.
Right.
You have to have that immediate reaction from
that
your audience.
That you're performing for has to get it.
Exactly.
To to make the echo waves go out through the air.
Right,
so I go,
exactly.
That was a really funny show.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the people watching in Oklahoma and Texas can go, oh, yeah, that Midwest heat.
Right.
That's why you, yeah.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So that's why I had to, the last minute I sat down with like the censors and the lawyers and went over this whole new, I'm doing this.
Wow.
And they were not really happy with me.
Well, the show came off great. I remember when you did that. That was,
yeah.
That was funny
Thank
as hell.
You. I got a standing ovation at my
oh, you
taping
did.
In New York City.
You did. And that show's still out there on Comedy Central. You see it
I know.
From time to time.
I know.
I love it.
And I'm trying to get them, I've been trying really hard to get them to do a new either half hour or
uh-huh.
an hour.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons I'm working on like this new material, you know.
Right.
Because I want to do this whole new 1 hour show.
Uh-huh.
Don't know what it'll be about yet, but I got to find a theme.
Right.
I think a lot in this day and age, people have to have those theme shows, those, you know, where they give it a name and it's
right.
kind of all about.
You try to sell the concept. They have to buy into the concept.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You've
right.
seen some of the specials on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
Where.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a main theme, and I can't even think of one right now, but like George Lopez.
Mm-hmm. That was, I got an alert. That's what that noise. People always go, what the? I don't know why.
Alert,
I,
alert.
Yeah.
Steve is a comedian.
Actually, the alert popped up and said, your computer is virus free. It
oh.
was running the check in the
oh,
background.
Oh, very good. Okay. Very good. Well, everybody, you're safe.
Safe listening, everybody.
You're not going to catch anything here today.
So what else, anything in the news that's gotten you all riled up or something you found amusing out?
Always the political stuff gets me riled up. But something that we talked about, and we talked about presentation and how you have to, the television, they do focus groups on this and focus groups on that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know they're doing a focus group on Trey Gowdy right now, the representative that's gonna chair this special committee on mm-hmm. the Benghazi thing.
Right.
And the reason I know that is because he'll come on to one news station. I like to watch them all to get a big idea what's going on. He'll come to one station, and he'll have his hair combed down in front of his face. I'll see him on the next station, he'll have his hair all combed back. And I know that the focus groups are saying, let's get a poll on how they like the way you look the best. Do they like the hair down, or do they like it all slicked back? Maybe they like it a little spiky. So,
do you think it depends on the station that he's going to? Like, this is a little hipper station, so you need to look a little more like this.
It might, but I think they're doing a focus group to see how he presents best to the general public
before he
so they can run his campaign correctly and how they can portray him to the people so that he gets best received. I'm sure that he's hired a staff of people to work on his image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hillary and Benghazi, we're going to take the people go, oh my God, they're going to go there.
Oh, no.
So
we don't really have to go there.
We don't, but just what do you think? Is
the truth is out there.
The truth?
The truth is out there and everybody knows it.
But we'll just do it as quick as possible. Do you think the emails that came out do definitely link it back to the White House?
They do definitely link it back to the White House.
Because they're not saying these were just talking points.
No, no,
blah,
no.
Blah, blah.
And they may, I think that some people are trying to link it directly to the president himself.
Uh-huh.
And we don't see anything that, but he is the boss. He represents it. But these definitely link it to the White House, link it to his staff at least. They link it that far up.
Yeah.
From there, unless there's somebody on the inside, like in Watergate, one of the perpetrators that comes forth and says, all right, I'm going to tell you. Then we'll never know the truth. We know how far it's got. We can see that one of his advisors had started this chain on the talking points. We also know that they all went along with it. Whether it was their idea or not, they all went along with it.
Dude, it was like 2 years ago.
Oh,
dude. What about that guy?
I think that if you go on a national syndicated talk show or news show on Sunday and you say, dude, you might as well follow it with, where's my car? Because you're out of there. Dude, where's my car? I have to go now. You shouldn't be allowed to be on.
That's our government now. That's when I saw that actually bothered me. Like, that is.
It is.
That's in charge. Those are people. Dude.
That's the attitude.
Dude.
We've got a president that takes selfies. Seriously? we've got a president acting like...
Okay, let me take the devil's advocate on that.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with that? What, don't you want somebody that's just like you, that's relatable?
No, I don't.
Don't you know, you see all this and people are
right.
like, oh, well, you do it, don't you? What's wrong with you? He's just like...
Right.
Don't you like having a president that's more, you know...
No, I don't. Well, and honestly, how many selfies have you seen that I took of myself? Zero. It's not dignified for our president to do that. We're looking for somebody that's going
Dude,
to lead us.
How old
us.
Are you that you're still trying to put dignity into the office?
Oh, I know. You're trying to hold that guy to a higher standard. I mean, dude, anybody can run the most powerful country on the world. Anybody can. Don't worry about it.
Well,
no, not anybody can.
Okay, now down the political trail here.
Uh-oh.
Do you see that? I know another person just hit stop, but. Don't you think that that's one of the reasons there's so much tension in the world right now is like Putin going into the Ukraine and China claiming
sure.
part of the sea
sure.
that Japan had is partially because they go, man, America's president and leadership is now just weak as shit.
Exactly.
We might as well. Now's the time for us to push the limits.
And that's human nature. That's what anybody would do at any time. That's not new to this presidency. It's not new to this part of the world or this time in history. That's human nature. And so I think our current administration, the focus of America is we want to be liked by everybody. We want to be nice to everybody, and we want everybody to like us and just smile when they see us and think that everything's
Diversity.
Good. It's so nice. But
coexist.
But that's unicorns and rainbows and skittle poop, you know. The world is not. It's not a friendly place.
I agree.
So what we need to be, I think, what we need to be is trusted by our allies. They
mm-hmm.
need to trust us. We need to be respected by people that aren't our allies but aren't our enemies. They need to respect us. And people that are enemies, they need to fear us. And we can be all three of those things at one time.
Well, it's like being a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
That's I say what I mean. I'm going to follow through on what I say,
right.
and you better respect my authority.
Exactly. That's just good parenting, you know, and I hate to say it, but as the shepherd of the country or, you know, parenting us, and I hate to say that because I personally, I don't really need a leader. I need someone to represent my wishes. I'm not a follower, and I'm not subservient, and I don't need a leader to tell me what to do. I need somebody in the Senate or in the House of Representatives or...
This
in
is
my,
what my in, people back in my country,
yeah,
back in my state, want me to do.
Right. Even in your local city council, I need people that...
That's okay. Sorry. You need to answer that?
No, I don't. I need people that represent my wishes. That's just that simple. Sorry
right.
about that.
That's okay.
Sorry
the cat,
about that.
The podcast coming over to check it out.
What's that
what
flashing
that?
Light?
What is that? Now she's running from it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What was I going to...
So, well, that... And represent. I don't need a leader. I need representation. And they need to represent us as a whole. You know what I
but
mean?
But that's not going to happen anymore. Haven't we gone... I know we're starting to sound like the news channels here, but haven't just gone too far? They're corrupt. You think you're going to come in from outside and, you know, I'm going to be the guy that's going to change there. Then you get there and you realize... Nobody's going to help me. Nobody's going to play my game.
Right.
I just have to go along with big business now.
Either
it's
that,
completely over, right?
Or we wipe the slate clean.
And that's not going to be possible.
And start from scratch.
And that's revolution. And that just,
right.
like, people always talk about, you're not going to do that. Not in this day and age. It's not the days of taking your musket and overthrowing your government are done. Because even if you wanted to, there are bigger, powerful. We're just these little ants now. Isn't that what it's become?
I don't think so. Because if you think that's true, I want you to stand in a pile of fire ants and try to lead them and see what happens. I want you to just stand there, tell them what to do, tell them they're little ants, they're insignificant, and just see what happens. Look at us like fire ants.
That's... Oh, where'd that come? That was your phone again?
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I know. That's funny.
But no, that's pretty good. That's pretty good analogy there. That
well, I think
you might be ants, but we can just sting the shit out of you and finally take you down.
And just the mass amount of us, just a mass amount of us. There was something that goes way back to the Vietnam era, where I think it was Westmoreland was where they were talking to him, and they're like, why can't you beat a people that throw rocks and sticks and spears at our helicopter? Why can't you look at this? Why can't you beat these people? And he replied with, how can you beat a people that are willing to fight these helicopters with sticks and stones? You don't beat a people like that. You can't beat them down. You can't break their spirit. They're attacking our helicopters with rocks, for God's sake.
We have Apache helicopters with machine guns and rockets.
And they're actually standing there throwing sticks and rocks at us. How do you conquer a people like that? You don't.
Well, you can't fix ignorance. That's kind of what it... Mm-hmm. I find that's more and more prevalent in this day and age, though, that...
Right.
Don't you think the government has tried hard to dumb us down with schools and education and what they tell you on TV and the shows that you watch, that you've just become this whatever?
I think so, but I think the government looks at it not as dumbing us down, but I think they think it's good for us. I think they think they're doing the right thing.
But just keeping them
back
to like the old Roman things of circus and cake?
Uh-huh, exactly. Just keep them entertained with the Colosseum.
Keep
I don't know
fed.
If we have anything like Colosseums now where they have sporting events in them that focus our attention all the time. I'm not sure if they have that anymore. Or a lot of food, good food you can just get anywhere, like the cake they used to have.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have that kind of stuff anymore.
You mean
anymore.
Where the NFL is just the most massive thing on TV?
Isn't it?
That's all anybody wears and talks
isn't
about
it?
Is jerseys and football. And you meet somebody you've never met before,
right.
And they go, oh, you're from Denver? How about those Broncos?
Right. How about those?
What? That's the first thing out of your mouth?
Uh-huh.
You don't go, you're from Denver? Do you ski? Oh,
yes.
You're from Denver? Do you?
Yeah. I hear that Denver's a big sporting town in the fact that it's very healthy. You all get out and do stuff, and you're active year-round. They never say that. They say, so, how about those Broncos?
So, those Broncos.
Yeah.
It's just like this whole thing of, like, where is the level of communication for people?
Exactly.
So you live in the mountains. Are you an outdoorsy kind of person?
Mm-hmm, right.
You live in the mountains. How about that Tim Tebow? That was a disaster.
Wasn't that a disaster?
What? What? Well, I tell you one thing that I do notice now from traveling is as soon as you say Colorado,
mm-hmm.
they go, oh, you get high?
That's the new thing.
That is the new...
Even more than Washington, which also legalized marijuana for recreational, not just medicinal, but recreational. Washington did too. The state.
Right.
But I never hear anybody talk about Washington.
Nothing on the news. If you're watching the news,
it's all Colorado.
It's all Colorado. Look, focus on Colorado.
I know.
Look at this guy. He ate too much pot and he killed his wife. But I do have to tell you.
What's that?
My house smells like pot all the time and I don't get high.
I know that. I know you don't get high, but what's the deal?
I have a neighbor, apparently,
okay,
that smokes.
Right.
And my backyard smells like skunk all the time.
Okay.
So now when I open the door to let the dogs in and out,
right,
the air comes in the house and you go, oh my God, now the house smells like pot again. Part of the bad thing of legalizing pot.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
No. And the one place that you're supposed to smoke pot is at your house, on your balcony or your patio.
Right.
So your neighbor he's doing the right thing.
I know. That's why I'm not.
He's doing everything right.
I'm not calling the police and turning to me. I gotta think I got a neighbor getting high.
Right.
I just have to go, oh my God, somebody,
Right, right. There's on my way to work, I live in West Denver. I work in Northfield or Eastern Denver. I drive down I-70 and there's this big warehouse down there where it's one of those legal pot shops.
Yeah.
But it's a huge facility. And I say facility because it's huge. Every time I drive by, I'm like, holy crap, on the highway at 70 miles an hour.
You smell it.
And not just like, what was that? You smell it for a long time. I can't imagine that entire neighborhood must smell like skunk.
So now the smell of what we all used to talk about here in Colorado of the Purina dog plant.
Oh, yeah.
It has been now changed by marijuana processing.
Exactly. On my way across town, sadly, Jolly Rancher's not there anymore.
Because I used to love the smell of candy.
Oh, the wild cherry when they made the apple.
Or the Wonder Bread place that used to be up there.
Exactly.
You could always smell fresh bread.
So I'm driving across town now, and they do have the Nabisco factory.
Uh-huh.
I can smell that. And then you get a little farther, and you smell the Stockyards.
Uh-huh.
And you get a little farther, and you got the Purina dog plant.
Uh-huh.
You get a little farther, and you got the pot factory.
Well,
I know.
Denver sounds like a great place to live.
It's a cornucopia of smells.
Unlike Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii just smells awesome all the time.
Yeah. But as you drive, you smell like flowers, mm-hmm. and then you drive and you smell like different flowers.
The hibiscus.
And then you drive and then you smell...
like the ocean, the salt water.
And then you drive.
Yeah, it's
big,
all good.
Sounds big difference between... And then you drive and smell the dog food, yes. and then you drive and you smell the meat processing.
Exactly. And you finally, you get to the pot. I don't even smoke pot, but that's one of the better smells as I go across town.
So how long has it been? Did you ever... You were a... in the music business and bands forever. Uh-huh. Did you ever like partake and be, you know, a high dude?
I used to partake in being a high dude years and years and years ago. I haven't, it's been over a decade at least since I last tried the marijuana.
So now that it's legal, you haven't thought, no. You know what, maybe I should.
You know what, I grew up. I don't care anymore. You know, and I used to tell my dad when I was a kid, Dad, someday pot's going to be legal. You just watch it. He said, not in my lifetime. Well, he was right. He passed away before it got legal, or he'd be throwing a cow right now. He'd be pissed at me right now because I told him the truth. I told him what was going to happen. But it's true. I mean, we all knew it. It's coming.
But legal pot, kids are going to miss out on all the fun of illegal pot.
Yeah.
I know that sounds horrible, but there was a whole culture, a subculture to that, you know, hiding the pot and buying the pot.
You can only buy a little bit because if you got busted with a lot, you lost a lot. You got busted with a little bit, you lost a little bit. You had papers or you had your little pipe that no one knew about.
You had your place, you hid it from your parents, or you had that fear of like, I wish I had some pot. We can go to a really bad neighborhood. Right. I know a guy. And you wait in the car and try not to get killed while I run in and
get some. Yeah,
you know, there's a whole thing.
It was a whole subculture, like you said. And the other thing was it was so, you know, such a subculture that you couldn't even smoke it where people would smell it. So your neighbors didn't even know you were getting high. Now,
you're out on the porch, you're annoying your neighbors.
And exactly.
It's not just closing the doors and shutting the blinds
and
smoking a little bit and going, oh, this is a movie is horrible, but I can't stop laughing.
I know. Very true. Very true.
So when you were in your hippie culture,
mm-hmm.
did you have all your paraphernalia? Were you one of those guys that had your, you know?
No, I never had a huge collection of anything. It was just, I was paranoid most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really, it would have freaked me out.
Me too.
To always try to hide it or wonder.
I was always afraid. I was always raised, if you're going to jail and mm-hmm. no one will ever get you out.
Right,
and I don't think kids have that fear anymore. I know pot's legal, but I'm just saying the fear of anything illegal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was always afraid, like, you know, that could get me arrested, or that would, you know, one more speeding ticket and I could lose my license.
Right.
I don't think kids have that kind of fear and respect for police or authority anymore.
I don't know if they have boundaries like we had. This anything goes. So many people tell me it's only wrong if you get caught. And I think, well, no, it's wrong. That's why you get caught. It's wrong. And even if you don't get caught, uh-huh. it's still wrong, you know? So you walking down the mall and these three kids
uh-huh.
take some lady's purse.
And just run off.
And they run off. And they don't get caught. It's still wrong. It's still wrong, you know? So this whole attitude of it's only wrong if you get caught, I think that's permeating everything.
I saw that on a statue the other day. We were at, I believe it was either Marshall's or Ross, one of those things. And there uh-huh. was like a little ceramic statue of a redneck guy.
Okay.
With like carrying a jug. It's one of those little knickknacks you have right there. He's got like a moonshine jug and a dog and a rifle. And there's a sign there that says it's only illegal till you get caught.
Right.
And I thought, that's becoming a joke now.
It really is. It is. It's almost a generation old. So now it's not a joke anymore. It's accepted common practice. You know? And that's sad. I think that's human nature though. That's why we've always had to keep a tight rein on ourselves and a tight rein on our children in order to keep fostering those ideas. Because once you let it start to spin, it just gets
spins out of control
and weaker.
Well, I think that's, I know we're new, with a new age and a new culture, but if you watch some of the old movies like Pride and Prejudice and some of those, you know, those older, where they lived by the rules of society, and you know, a gentleman does not do this, and a lady is not left alone in a room with a man, and you know, you ask for my permission before you, you know, all that stuff was society, and it kept it very, very polite and very comp. I know it sounds stuffy, but there was all those rules, and I think we don't have many rules today,
other than political correctness. There aren't really any rules. And I think that what you're talking about, that kept people on their best behavior. It was probably an easier society to live in because you didn't have to worry about it. It just wasn't polite to speak about sexism or racism or anything. So you didn't.
Yeah.
You can't change people's thinking.
Yeah.
But you can, like, ask them to not do that out in public. Don't be.
Well, how many? I remember the first few times I was shocked when I would hear a girl go, "Man, I got to go take a dump."
Yeah, that is kind of shocking.
Isn't it still? Like, oh, man, I got to piss like a racehorse. You're a girl.
Yeah.
Aren't you a ladies don't.
You're a lady.
Ladies don't talk like that.
Right.
And yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. How are you raised? But I think that's changed a lot, because I do remember being like, ladies don't talk like that.
Right.
You know, having a sister, I was always heard those things that were around the house, that a lady does not know. A lady doesn't sit like that.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Is all that stuff gone now?
So, and it goes away gradually. Well, you just said it shocks you the first time you heard a lady say, "I gotta go take a dump." Does it shock you today when you hear that?
Not really. I just think.
You become accustomed to it. So now to shock you, they have to do something worse.
Yeah. I'm not shocked, but I also am not. It's like I'm semi-disgusted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I don't look at them the same way.
Mm-hmm. It takes the lady away from
it.
It
takes the lady away. Mm-hmm. Okay, obviously you don't have the respect for yourself.
That's where it all stems.
And I think that takes me to a different place.
We're
one of the guys now. That's how you want to be treated? It's just one of the guys?
Seriously. I thought we'd always put ladies on a pedestal and treated them better than we treat each other.
Yeah.
And they want to come off the pedestal and be equal. Like, well, I can't fault somebody for wanting to be equal, but it's, you were better than us before.
Yeah.
You were better.
Better.
Now you want to be equal?
Now you want to be as low as us?
Really? Seriously?
We're men.
Yes.
We throw poop at each other.
Have you met us? We're men.
We're men.
Yeah.
You are way up here.
Yeah.
We let you be in charge. We thought you were the brains of everything.
You're supposed to refine us and make us better people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, I think now, don't you see that they're taking kids, especially, and I don't want to slam the whole single mom thing.
Right.
But don't you think that they're turning boys into women? Like, they're making them so, like, you don't get hurt, and you don't do this, and you don't play that, and take this out of school.
Right.
You know, where women used to, even though we kept them on a higher pedestal, they still understood that's what men do. That's who men are.
Right.
They didn't try to make us them.
Right.
It's like this weird, we're becoming this weird mixture of junk.
It's almost asexual. Everybody's like drone bees. They're not male or female. They just are.
They just are.
You know?
It's kind of creepy.
It's really creepy.
It's kind of science fictionist.
It's very Orwellian, so to speak. You know, just everybody's the same. Everybody is, we used to call it milk toast.
Yeah.
It's milk toast. Everything's milk toast now.
Oh, I heard the other day that now they're trying to get rid of the word sissy and pansy. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, they want those are new words that they want taken out of the kids' vocabularies because they're hurtful words. Because what do they relate to? If you're calling somebody you're a sissy.
A sissy.
Well, are you more gay? Are you being gay?
No.
You're just...
I don't know if you...
Don't be a pansy.
Yeah.
Those words were always kind of like, don't be the little weird dude.
Pansies are just little flowers that sit by the side. That's an actual thing.
They're very frail.
They are. It's an actual thing. It's a pansy. You can't get rid of it because it's a thing. It's not just an abstract word.
Okay, what about sissy?
Sissy.
Don't be a sissy.
Well, my dad used to say, don't be like sissy. In the fact that don't be like your sister. Don't be like your sister. Man up. You know,
that's what the show is about.
Man enough.
Man up. Remasculate.
Exactly. Exactly. So throwing PC out the window, time to remasculate, time to man up, you know, and be the leaders that we're supposed to be and allow our women to be on that pedestal and be worshipped and treated differently.
Are we even are we teaching kids in anymore the rules of like, because I know that I still do it, like opening doors, or mm-hmm. or you walk on the street side
right.
of a woman because that's the protected. I mean, there's all this.
Right.
Are those things still being even taught to little boys? In
I don't
state?
Know.
Or
I don't,
do women even know that guys are supposed to do this kind of?
Right, supposed to. And it's not that I don't think a woman can open her own door. Trust me, they can do anything. It's a gesture. It's just something that I was taught to do. Walking on the street side, I was taught that, but I also learned from observation, you know. And if I didn't do it right, I'd be gently reminded by my dad, hey, go ahead and walk on the outside.
That's, right.
You know, and make sure you open that door. The other thing was women, and, you know, for the good or the bad, women used to walk up, if they were with a man, they would walk up to the door
and just
stop.
Stand there.
They would stop and allow you to open the door. Now, it's almost like a foot race. If you want to open the door and be a gentleman, you almost got to rush to the door.
You got to beat her to it.
And push him out of the way in order to open the door and be a gentleman.
You almost, that bitch, I'm the man here.
You got to knock him down to open the door and be a gentleman. You know, it's just, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I would like, you know, to be allowed to do the right thing, given an opportunity, a window to do the right thing, but times are changing. Everything changes. I'm just shows how old I'm getting.
I'm still frightened by the drone idea that you just brought up. The whole little worker bee.
The worker bee?
We're all the same, just doing our little thing.
And
if you come together, that's great. If you,
right,
you know.
Right. If you just milk toast, just be and do and, you know. I think we won't get into too much other political stuff, but I talked to a couple teachers that think the Common Core thing is mm-hmm. really good. And when I talk to somebody and I just want to listen to them, I'm not trying to convince them of my opinion or force it or even mention what I'm just like, I ran across a teacher. Oh, I teach third grade. I'm like, oh, do you do that Common Core thing? Yes. I said, tell me about it. And I just allowed her to tell me about what they were doing and teaching the children to think or however they look at it.
Right.
And then some people will say it's the worst thing on the planet, but I think that part of that is the conglomeration of making little drones, making little worker bees.
Very common.
Very common. It's a common core. There is no exceptionalism or no expectation of somebody outstanding. It's just the core that everybody's common at, and which is basically, we used to call that the lowest common denominator. Exactly. It's not exceptional at all. But this lady I was talking to had said how she believes it teaches the children to think outside the box. So, okay.
And how does it do that?
We didn't really get okay. that far right. into it. So, and I was just listening. Again, I like to learn. I like to see. And the best way to learn is to just listen to them. Just listen to what they have to say. And sometimes you can see the light go on as they're, you know,
like they even realize, well, this does sound kind of stupid.
Right. Well, and a lot of times, and I think everybody even in your audience can agree that a lot of times you start to talk about something and you've got, well, this is what I believe. And then within the first 8 or 9 seconds, the other guy's on you and
right.
you're talking about his belief. And
right.
now all of a sudden you're trying to convince each other.
Right.
So basically you've got like 10 seconds of your belief down pat.
Yeah.
And then you're defending yourself. If you just stop and allow them to give you 5 or 10 minutes of what they believe, they find that they run out of their beliefs in probably a minute,
right?
Minute and a half. They're done, and they don't know how to act because you're not fighting them on it.
Well, it's funny just you say that because I just saw a thing the other day about it goes back to the Donald Sterling thing,
uh-huh.
which is, you know, of course we'll all say bad. Mm-hmm. It is, and the other deal is this: who's the football player that they signed? That was kissing the boyfriend.
Is his name
something?
You
Sam?
Know, I'm not a big sport. Michael Sam.
I believe so.
Uh-huh.
And somebody, a newscaster, had said, "Oh, you know, we did not need to see that."
Right.
Why not? Love is, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody should be able to love who they want.
Right.
And so the thing that I read was, people are no longer allowed to just have their opinion. That you can't just say, you know, I didn't want to see that. Why not?
Right.
Well, just let it go. Just let it go.
Yeah, I don't have to defend why I didn't want to see it, or I don't have to defend why I love seeing it. Just let it go.
Just let it go. In this day and age, it was the whole thing about why everybody feels they have to defend or attack the other.
Right.
Nobody could just say something anymore.
It's okay. It's just...
That's just that's your great. Opinion.
Yeah.
And let it go. Not yeah. like, well, you should believe my side.
You should.
You should. Well, why shouldn't he be able to?
Right.
Okay. All right. That's and just go, all right, fine. Well, that's you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. You know, whatever. I don't care. You know, I know the one sportscaster was talking about, it's about their football record, or it's about, you know, and some other person had said, well, that whole kiss was about an agenda, somebody's agenda, because we didn't see anybody else kissing,
right?
Or, you know, or they didn't talk about anybody else's sports record. And I didn't watch the draft.
You don't know.
I don't really know. I just saw the hoo-ha about the
that's
kiss.
What I saw. From watching the news, I saw the kickback. And I thought the same thing. I go, well, I didn't see somebody kissing their wife or girlfriend when they got you know, announced. Or I didn't see somebody jump and call their mom.
I'm sure that everybody did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they did.
Right.
Everybody was just as happy as those two. But it wasn't. It wasn't shown to us the way that was.
Right. Like, this is something new. This is an angle. Everybody's looking for an angle.
Right.
What's the angle that we can...
It's the agenda, or it's good news. We're still talking about it a week and a half later. So news corporations got their ratings boost out of that. That's what they wanted.
Where I go back, and this would probably cause trouble, I just think I'm always for and always have been... for equality. I really think you should judge people for being who they are, and I've always gone along with that.
Are you going MLK on us?
I'm going
MLK. You talking about the content of your character?
I am. I've always been like that.
That's good.
I mean, that's just the way I was raised.
Yeah.
That I like you, or I don't like you, or, you know, I judge you by the way you do a four-way stop. Are you that stupid, the first one on the side?
Exactly. Judge you by your character.
Yeah, and I've always been like that. And I get so annoyed by people that want to shove things in my face or tell me that this is... You know what? If you want to be in love, be in love. I'm happy.
Exactly.
I'm like that.
Uh-huh.
Like my friends, you know, Chuck and my I got a gay friend. I don't know how that sounds, but I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't. I just wish people would stop with any type of agenda.
Uh-huh.
Just be a person.
Exactly.
Just live your life.
Uh-huh.
Don't scream at me. Don't put it in front. You know, don't just, are you happy? Be happy.
Yeah.
Are you live your, like.
Exactly. It's just that
if
easy.
If you want to be naked, wear cowboy boots, butter each other up and chase each other around the room. That sounds good to me too.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Are you
don't
talking about
it.
Live and let live?
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Yeah! There it is.
That's it. That's the point.
Live
the,
and let live.
Live.
Yeah. It was. What would you like to have for dinner? Steak? Why? Why do you want steak? Why shouldn't you have, you know, wait a minute. Whoa, it's just a meal.
Well, don't you know cows are... They have feelings.
Yeah. Why don't you go to the store and get your meat somewhere where they didn't have to kill animals to get it? Why you got to go out and kill deer to get your meat? You should just go to the store and get it where no animals were harmed.
God, well, you got to kill off the deer population or they'll starve.
Yes,
there's part of the whole. There
is a part of the whole food chain.
Yeah,
that we've kind of interrupted by living here. So we need to, you know, we need to maintain the balance, and thank God we have incredibly smart people that went to college and stuff to teach us how to maintain that balance. Part of it is harvesting so much of the crop, whether it's carrots or elk.
Yeah, because something, if they overcrowd, they're going to poop in their water system and spread disease, or they're going to eat the grass that more of them should be having, but there's not enough grass now because there was too many. There's a whole ecosystem that people don't understand. They just like, I only eat grass.
Right.
I don't eat anything that ever had a face.
Or parents. I never eat anything that had parents.
Everything has parents, doesn't
it?
No matter if even if you're a grass seed, didn't something pollinate?
I think that's the asexual drone thing. You just are.
You just are.
You just were, and the next one will just be.
So, in conclusion on today's show, let's talk about the two things we've learned.
Wrapping
today.
It up
because we've hit our hour here. So, the two things we've learned is
live and let live.
Yes. And what was the other? Because that's what made me think of it. Now I've lost it.
Oh, right no,
there.
I'm sorry.
Right there at the very end of...
The drones?
The drone, yeah. So that's the two things. We've become the drones, and we need to live and let live.
Right.
So how do we balance out those two? How do we get from just this drone milquetoast situation
right.
to just live and let live? Enjoy yourself. Get out. Be yourself.
I think we have to overcome the mental obstacles we've put in ourselves. We need to be those fire ants that make the change happen.
Be fire ants.
Be fire ants.
Are you a fire ant? Now, this is almost like a church service. We've come out. Are you
Amen.
Are you a fire ant for the Lord? If come on down. Now.
Come on down. That's right. Come up front. Be a fire ant.
Be a fire ant for the Lord.
I could have used a different metaphor, I'm sure. But
I like that.
Fire though. Ants really works well because...
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Ken, tell people now where they can find you in the band.
You can find Honky Tonk Voodoo be the first week of June uh-huh. at Toby Keith's.
TK's.
TK. Sup? We're doing a private affair tomorrow, so not that. And then the next time you'll see us will be at TK's.
Is there a website?
Well, it's honkytonkvoodoo.com. Uh-huh. There's also Facebook, Honky Tonk Voodoo. You okay. can find us there. Right now, we're at 666 likes, so would somebody please like that page?
Like it more.
Just like it. Just somebody
now,
like that.
Now, what about Ken Wilson himself? He's on Facebook. They can find
I'm on Facebook, Ken Wilson, but I'm pretty much a Facebook voyeur.
Are you on Twitter now? You are on Twitter.
Oh, on Twitter. Ken Wilson Drums.
Okay.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Okay.
And if I get a lot of followers, uh-huh. good or bad, I'll start to believe in the social media, but right now, I'm...
You don't believe in it?
Well, I just don't believe it's as... Some people live their life by it.
Oh, true.
And I mean, you know, I just saw this thing this morning that said, is there any place interesting this weekend we can go and stare at our phones? You know, let's go up in the mountains and stare at our phones all weekend.
Well, it's funny you say that. When I was in Italy, working the cruise, uh-huh. went to Italy, and the other comic and I, Gary, went to this little Italian restaurant. We were in Naples.
Right.
And they had free Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And he and I both are like on our phones. And the guy doesn't speak English. The guy running the restaurant.
Right.
He taps us and acts like he's he's on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, like, no, shake his, no, no, no. And he's making like eating, like
yes.
eating thing. Like, stop, enjoy
yes.
your food.
Look around. There's the Roman Colosseum right there. There's, you know, look, you're in Italy for God's
yeah,
sake.
Yeah, get off your phone
exactly.
and enjoy.
Have some pasta.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was saying.
Have some coffee.
Enjoy my food, I
yes.
think is what he was trying to say.
And but. I think that's perfect. I think that's perfect. Did you guys? Did
yeah,
you
we stop? Did. Actually, we did. We both
Good.
Set our phones down.
Good.
And,
set them down.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, though, being trapped on a ship with no Wi-Fi, you're trying to catch up. You have a business to run. You have things you have to do. So I see what you're doing.
Right.
But at the same time, hey.
Hey, you're in Italy.
Around. You're in Italy.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Ken, thanks for doing the show again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tiki Master.
You're welcome. I think we should go get sushi now. What do you think?
Let's go.
Getting sushi. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes.
We bid you adieu. Emasculate!